The epistle to be read today for the last Sunday after Pentecost is taken from St. Paul's epistle to the Colossians, chapter 1. Brethren, we cease not to pray for you and to beg that you may be filled with the knowledge of the will of God, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of God in all things pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to the power of his will and glory, and all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to God the Father, who hath made us worthy to be partakers of the lot of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the powers of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the remissions of sins. In the Holy Gospel, taken from the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 24. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, "When you shall see the abomination of desolation, which was spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place, he that readeth, let him understand. Then they that are in Judea, let them flee to the mountains. He that is on the housetop, let him not come down to take anything out of his house. And he that is in the field, let him not go back to take his coat. And woe to them that are with child and that give suck in those days. But pray that your flight be not in the winter or on the Sabbath, for there shall be then great tribulation, such as hath not been from the beginning of the world until now, neither shall be. And unless those days had been shortened, no flesh should be saved, but for the sake of the elect, those days shall be shortened. Then if any man shall say to you, 'Lo, here is Christ,' or 'there,' do not believe him, for there shall rise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, inasmuch to deceive, if possible, even the elect. Behold, I have told it to you beforehand. It therefore shall, if they shall say to you, 'Behold, he is in the desert,' go ye not out. Behold, he is in the closets, believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and appeareth even into the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Wheresoever the body shall be, there shall the eagles also be gathered together. And immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun shall be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of heavens shall be moved. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with much power and majesty. And he shall send his angels with a trumpet and a great voice, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from the farthest parts of the heavens to the utmost bounds of them. And from the fig tree learn a parable. When the branch thereof is now tender, and the leaves come forth, you know that summer is nigh. So you also, when you shall see all these things, know ye that it is nigh, even at the doors. Amen, I say to you, that this generation shall not pass till all these things be done. Heaven and earth shall pass, but my words shall not pass." Thus for the words of today's Holy Gospel. Behold, I have told it to you beforehand, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with much power and majesty. These words are taken from the Gospel of today's Mass. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. My dear faithful, today's Gospel contains two prophecies. And these prophecies were spoken by our Lord himself. First, our Lord tells us about the destruction of Jerusalem and the temple. This prophecy was fulfilled in the year 70 AD, about 40 years after our Lord's death, and was fulfilled when the Romans laid siege to the city of Jerusalem. Over 1 million Jews were killed by the Romans. The city was completely destroyed, so much so that not a stone was left upon a stone. And as our Lord said, it would be the worst persecution of a nation to ever occur. The eyewitness historian Flavius Josephus said that the destruction of Jerusalem, in his opinion, that no other city ever suffered such calamities, nor in any nation was the wickedness of the sedition more ferocious. The second prophecy of our Lord gives is about the end of the world. Our Lord tells us some signs by which we will know that the end of the world is near. He speaks of the great sufferings of the last days, and he describes the natural catastrophes that will occur. He warns against the false prophets and the Antichrist, and how they will deceive many people. All these things our Lord describes in today's gospel, and some of these signs we even see in the world today. Now, our Lord warns us of these trials and these persecutions in order that we may be prepared for them. He does not tell us these things to discourage us, for he is our loving Father. Rather, he tells us these things to strengthen and encourage us. He tells us them to warn us, just as a good father warns his child of the dangers in the world. Cornelius Alapide, the great scripture scholar, said that our Lord tells us these things in order to strengthen believers against all hardships and trials and make them as firm as a rock. So we must not be troubled or lose confidence, but rather we must have greater courage in order that we may be prepared for the greater evils that will follow. We cannot escape troubles and hardships that come our way. This life is a life full of heartaches and sufferings. And so we must learn how to deal with them. We must supernaturalize what happens to us. That is, we must rise above the physical things in this world. We must quit looking at the dirt and look to heaven. Naturally speaking, we may not like certain things that happen to us or that are part of our life. However, we can and we ought to accept these things cheerfully for the love of God. And in thus doing, we will gain for us a great reward in heaven. And this is one of the reasons why our faith is so wonderful, why we are so blessed to be Catholics. You know, so many people ask the question, how could God allow this or that to happen? Even many Catholics ask why. Why do I have this cross, they say? Why did this happen to me? But you see, God allows these things in order to help us get to heaven. For heaven is our true goal and the purpose of why we are here. You know, so many people, especially today, try to escape conflict, troubles, and crosses. They try to flee any difficulty that comes their way. Even Catholics will often pray that God takes a certain cross from them. They pray that God helps them by taking away the trouble or trial. But no one can get rid of these things. They are part of life. And they are in the world because of man's sins. All that is in the world that is evil is man's fault. And we can't blame God for them. And so we ought to learn how to live with them and make the best use of them in order to help us get to heaven. And it is only our faith that can make these trials and crosses make any sense. Because we know by faith that God allows them to happen that we may increase in grace and merit. And thus, by joyfully and faithfully carrying these crosses, we will gain a great reward. And so what a great blessing it is to have the one true faith. Can you imagine trying to face the difficulties and trials of everyday life without God and the true faith? It would be the greatest nightmare and even hell on earth, as we see in the lives of so many non-Catholics. You know, the devil at times will tempt us to give up, to quit. He convinces us by saying, why should we continue to try and carry these burdens? Why should we carry this cross? And one simple reason is that even if you fly from one cross, another one will quickly take its place. The problem will still be there. We live in a valley of tears. And so we must learn to carry these crosses, to learn to carry them cheerfully, and do it for the love of God. Even when it is not easy and it may not feel good to us, but if we continue to persevere in carrying them for love of God, we will gain a great reward and merit for heaven. And so, my dear faithful, how grateful we should be for the so many blessings God has given us, and especially for the one true faith. You know, we can even thank God for the trials and crosses that come our way. Thank Him for helping us and giving us the grace to persevere in carrying the cross. You know, there's a little witty story that shows how we can always find something to be grateful to God for. There once was a little boy who was eating dinner and didn't want to finish. He wanted to go outside and play. But he was first made to finish his rice pudding and then was allowed to go outside. As he was about to leave the table, he was reminded to say his grace after meals. "Now say your grace," his parents instructed him. "What for that? That horrible rice pudding," the boy responded. And so his mother again reminded him, "You must thank God," she said, "and you can't go out and play until you do." After a moment's silence, the boy said, "All right, thank you, God, that I wasn't sick after eating that pudding." You see, as the saying goes, every cloud has a silver lining if we look for it. And so it is with sufferings and trials. God will always draw a greater good from them. And we may not always see it or know what He has done for us. Our heads may be, so to speak, stuck in the dirt. But He will always draw greater blessings upon us for every cross we carry for love of Him. And now, since this past Thursday was Thanksgiving, it is a perfect time to renew our gratitude to God. We should always spend as much time in thanking God for favors received as we have spent in asking for them. So thank Him for the numerous blessings and even the crosses that He has allowed to come your way. And just think, by carrying these crosses, we will more closely follow in the footsteps of our Lord Himself. And so when some difficulty presents itself, remember, we are not meant to be here in this earth. We are meant to be in heaven with God Himself. And so think about heaven in the midst of your trials and duties. And remember that this life is very short compared to eternity. And so look for the good things and don't lose sight of the goal which is in heaven. And thank God today and every day for the numerous blessings He has given you. As it says in today's epistle, after listing some of the numerous blessings that our Lord gained for us, "In all patience and long-suffering with joy, give thanks to God the Father, who has made us worthy to be partakers of the lot of the saints." And always remember, the standard or banner of Catholics is the cross. Our life is meant to be one of suffering and trials. We must carry them cheerfully and generously, for they will help us to reach our goal and to gain a great reward in heaven. And always remember the statement that our Lord directs to each one of us. He says to us, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For what does a man gain if he gains the whole world and lose his soul?" God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.